Well, my friends, I'm thrilled to be here. I'm thrilled for many reasons. And one of the reasons is that I get to come to Highland Academy. I don't get to do that quite a bit. So many things happening in the public campus ministries and other places. I don't get to travel to our academies. For me, it's a treat to be here and see all of you worshiping God. There's so many things I would love to share with you. So many things I would love just to say, man, can you, if I could put in a shake, I will give it to you. Drink it. This is good stuff. If I could just somehow, Pastor Will, if I just could just transmit it like a computer, download everything that I've seen, I will do that for you. So you get, wow, excited, jumping up and down of the stuff that the Bible is talking about, but I can't do it. I'm sorry. I'll do my best. That I think it's 2 hours, you said, I'm supposed to speak?
Three
hours. In the next 3 hours, I hope that we can summarize this. Is that all right? Don't worry about food. I'm hungry, though. But we'll talk about it. Don't worry about that. Because what I want you is to have a glimpse of the power of God. You see, we just came from Cuba. I see Lauren, your brother Alex. I'm sorry to point you out. Alex went with us to Cuba. Alex had never been out of the country. He's never flown before. And he picked Cuba to go for the first time. I tell you what, I didn't tell the group this, so you cannot tell Alex. I was afraid. Because people say that if you say the wrong thing in Cuba, they'll lock you up. So I said, so what do I say? How do I talk to these people? And a pastor said, I'm going to recommend you a book. You must read it when you come back. I said, really? You know, he enticed me. I bought it before going, and I read it in 2 days. I shouldn't have done it. Because it talks about Noble Alexander, who spent 22 years in prison in Cuba for preaching the gospel. And I was going to Cuba to preach the gospel. I said, everybody pray for me. I want to come back. But I tell you, this guy, and this is the part I'm struggling. I don't know if I could be this guy. I don't know if I could be Bonhoeffer, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. These guys preach the gospel in spite of the persecution. These guys said, you know, it's better to follow God before man. And you tell me not to preach, and guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to preach. And this guy ended up in jail for 22 years, and he didn't stop preaching in jail. And I wondered, Lord, will I be able to do that? If the circumstances reverse, will I be able to have that courage that these guys had? Talking about that, I'm looking in our Bible for the verse of this week. And I'm reading the life of Paul here in 2 Corinthians. How many of you have your Bibles in here? All right, very good. Electronic Bibles, anything counts. But just in case, I have some of this in the computer. And I'm going to just review a little bit of what Paul went through. Listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, right at the beginning of it, Paul is saying in verse 8, he says that he actually came from the province of Asia. And this is what he said. Listen up. We were under great pressure, far beyond our abilities to endure. Have you been pushed and pressed down to the point that you cannot even breathe? Beyond the ability of endurance, so that we despair of life itself. Despair of life itself. Have you been drowning ever in your life? Have you been in a swimming pool? And then it happened to me once. This guy thought it was funny. He pushed me down. I didn't know how to swim. And I was going down, and I was going up, and he, ha, ha, ha. I was going down, I was going up, ha, 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 until he realized I couldn't swim. So he threw me a ball and threw me something. I was despairing for air, gasping for air for my own life. This is what Paul is talking about. He barely could be alive. He said, man, we might not make it out of this one. And he said this, indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. And I continue reading. Actually, I could continue reading in 3 or 4 spots. I put it in your guidelines. I'm going to give you at the end this outline so you can follow, especially as you go back to your dorms tomorrow. You just take some extra time and evaluate it. He's going to pass it out now so you can fill out the blanks. But at the same time, when you go back to your dorms, tomorrow morning when you wake up, I hope and I pray that you go back through these teachings, because I don't have the time to break down everything I would love to share that the Bible shares. But I'm challenging you to go back and look at what the Bible is saying, to ask the question, Lord, what is it that you are telling me today? To ask the question, Lord, is there something I need to learn? To ask the question, Lord, I don't know if you exist, but if you do exist, please talk to me. I love the songs that were picked. Oh, they come from the heart. Oh, especially the one about identity. You said that you love me. I don't feel anything, but I believe. Do you believe? That's what we're going to be talking about. And tonight, I'm just going to tell you exactly the whole summary of this week of prayer. And then after that, it's just going to be the application. So as you get your hand out, you realize that there you have the passages in 2 Corinthians that talk about the suffering that Paul went through. This is just an introduction. He says also in 4:8, we are hard pressed on every side. Have a picture of that. You are standing up and you have weight on every side around you, hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Listen to the words of Paul. He's talking about the pain, the suffering he's going through. And I wonder, can I stand when the time comes? If somebody asks me, would you give your life for your church as a pastor? Would you give your life for your congregation, for the conference? Would you give your life for this group of students? What would I say? Oh, I pray that the Lord give me the strength. And then I wonder, how did Paul do it? What was the secret? What's the secret of this guy, Noble Alexander, Dietrich Bonhoeffer? What was the secret? What moved them? What gave them that confidence, that certainty? What was it? Friends, it's in the Bible, in the passage that we are studying this week. And I hope you can capture this. I hope that you can remember this. And I hope that you really get inspired by these words of Paul. And look what he says. Therefore, we do not lose heart. What? After everything he's going through, how comes he doesn't lose heart? I'm in chapter 4, verse 16, for those who are following. And then he says, though outwardly we are wasting away, outwardly, we're going through suffering. Outwardly, we're in pain, he says. Yet inwardly, inside of me, we are being renewed day by day. Wow, how? And look what he says in verse 17. For our light and momentary troubles. Do you believe that what Paul went through is light? Do you know what I go through every day? Do you know what kind of sufferings do I have? Well, my house hasn't been renewed in the last 3 years. We have running water, we have air conditioning, and the doors barely close, and I cannot find a contractor to fix the house. And my wife said, I need a better house, and I've been calling everywhere for 3 years, and I cannot find someone to fix my house. I need to take a class on how to fix a house, because my wife is going to kick me out of my house. That's what I go through. That's the pain and suffering I go through. The other day, I woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I was thinking about this week of prayer. I go to the backyard, to the back door, and I hear this. Meow. Meow, meow, meow. Meow, meow, meow. I said, what in the world is that? I tell you something. My wife watches Kitty Academy all the time. She's telling me about the new kitties, what the kitties are doing. There's nothing. She just watches kitties in a screen. How boring can that be? Day and night, she wakes up. I wonder what the little kitties are doing today. Oh, they're jumping on them. Why would you waste your time doing that? Don't tell her that I'm saying that. Are you? Oh, I'm sorry. I love you. This is just a sermon illustration, whatever. Mr. Watkins, do you have an extra room in the academy just in case? Okay, thanks. My wife told me this. I wish we could be foster parents of kitties. Foster parents of kitties? What are you talking about? We have two cats. Who wants a cat, by the way? I'm giving one away. All right, you're on. Let me talk to my wife and we'll see what happens. Three little kitties walk through the back door of our house, homeless, and they seem like they heard my wife, or rather, God heard my wife and her desires of her heart, and God sent her three little kitties. I could send you the picture tomorrow, show you a picture tomorrow. We just gave them away yesterday. I almost cried, almost, not quite. It was painful. But you know, that's the type of sufferings I go through dealing with cats. How light is that compared to what Paul went through? How light is that compared to those? Anybody from Cuba here, by the way? Anybody has been to Cuba before? Anybody knows where Cuba is? All right, good. The stuff they went through is nothing compared to what you and I go through. How is that possible? Look at this verse, and we're going to repeat this verse every day. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is what, students? Unseen. Since what is seen is what? Temporary. But what is unseen is what? Can we say that as a group once more? Please, let's do it. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is what? Eternal. Students, this is the one message I want you to take with you the rest of your life while you're here in Highland Academy. What is it that you are looking for? What is it that your vision allows you to see? What kind of things are you wanting for your life? What kind of glasses do you wear? And you know what I'm talking about. Are you holding on to this world or are you seeing beyond this world? Listen what it says here. Oops. In other words, Paul is saying we walk by faith, not by sight. Look, take a look at this picture. My wife spent most of the evening yesterday working on it. I'm going to read the verse and look at the picture and see if you can get her artistic mind, what she's trying to convey in that message. And this is the seriousness of this week of spiritual emphasis. So I'm going to read it and look at this picture. I actually brought a copy of it for each one of you. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. This is serious business, friends. So that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ. Who is the image of God? And then it ends saying, let light shine out of darkness. This is Jesus Christ. The definition of Jesus is light. The definition of God is light. He's powerful. He wants you to see, but there's a dark figure. It's called, Paul calls it the God of this age, which is trying to avoid light to come to each one of us. And then you see this little blind that she put on these individuals. they are unable to see the light. Dear friends, students, it's my prayer that you see the light. It's my prayer that you see Jesus Christ clearly, not just this week, but the rest of your life, in every area of your life. And as you're choosing a career, as you're choosing your companion, your spouse, as you're choosing how to entertain yourself, as you're choosing where to go, as you're choosing how to portray yourself on social media, it's my desire and my, I don't know what other word to use there, but that you see the light.
Amen.
And I better wrap it up. And I want to say that before you go, before you actually know where you're going, you need to know where are you going. I'm going to take you to wrap this story up to the book of John, because John directly connects us with this the same word that Paul is talking about, and the word is light. Oh, there's something powerful here, my friends. I want you to see and to take it with you tonight as you go out. It says, the book of John, chapter 1. Oh, this book was written, it was the last gospel written by John. He had a point. He said, I want people to know that Jesus Christ is God. And he begins by saying, in the beginning, he's calling the Genesis story, was the Word. And the Word was what? With God. And the Word was who? God. And then he says this in verse 4, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Exactly what Paul is talking about. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness had not overcome it. Let me tell you what John is trying to tell us here. Have you, friends, been in total darkness before? Some of you saying, yes, I'm a city boy. I never been in total darkness before until my senior year of high school. It was cool. I'm from the deep south, meaning Venezuela. You gotta get to Miami, get on a boat, and then you get to the mainland. So I'm from the deep south down there, Venezuela. Over there, in the big city, 7 million people, there's light everywhere. There's light. You turn off the lights in your apartment, and you cannot avoid getting light inside of your apartment. It's impossible. No matter what kind of curtains you put in there, there's always light in the big city. And we graduated from high school, so the sponsor said, let's go to an island. Oh, have you been to an island before? Oh, don't you like, the water, oh, the breeze, oh, the sand, oh. You got to go to an island if you haven't been to an island. We were excited, beyond excited. We're going to an island. Yes, I've never been to that place before. So 15 of us go in this trip, get into a boat, and go to the island. We get there, and then we are extremely excited. We are just overjoyed, and we couldn't stop talking. Have you been there when you go with Pathfinders, go camping, and people say, slow down. It's time. Lights out. Shut up. We want to sleep. So that was our sponsor saying, guys, we were actually in an old colonial Spaniard type of house where the patio the patio is in the center of the house. Have you seen that before? The patio is in the center of the house, and there's a corridor. So we got to sleep in the corridor, hammocks and mattresses. That was awesome, you guys. Until my professor, Maestro Marcano, said, boys, it's time to sleep. I'm going to turn off the lights. I put my hand right here. I couldn't see it. I said, what is this? I couldn't breathe. I was getting anxious. And it wasn't just me. My classmates, too. I said, what's going on? Somebody turn the lights. Somebody turn the lights. These were tough guys, you know. Somebody turn the light. I cannot sleep. I cannot sleep. And I couldn't until somebody just put a little glimpse, a little tiny flame. Give this what John is trying to tell us, friends. This world, I'm going to put the picture that April was so skillful, with so much skill, trying to portray here for all of us. This world is in total darkness, my friends. This world is in total darkness. I can do this. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. including, there you go. This world is in total darkness, friends. You put your hand in front of your face and you don't see it. You are in this world, it's in total darkness, and you can now see the light that gives you hope, that gives you an identity, that tells us who you are, because Satan is blocking your view. Can you see that? So John is saying this. Light came into this world, and the people in darkness said, I don't want you. What? Just like me, in that island, if I get just a little tiny flame, I was happy. But people in darkness don't want the light. Have you? I'm supposed to end at what time? Okay. I've never faced this before, friends. I always talked and heard and read that there are people out there that do not want to follow Jesus Christ. Have you heard that before? There are people that said, I do not want to go to heaven. Have you met someone like that? I had not met someone like that until I worked in a public school system for 10 years. I used to organize meetings with parents and students. And one of those meetings, a lady, short lady, came by and said, I know you, but you don't know me. When somebody said that to you, run! Get out of there, because it's not good. They know who you are, but you don't know them. They're sneaky. They're trying to find something there, and they have an agenda. So this lady came and said, I have a daughter, and this daughter's in this school, and I know you're a pastor, and I know the church where you preach. She's demon-possessed. Would you visit her? This is a school. We can talk about grades. We can talk about attendance. She's what? As it turned out, she just was a teenager. Mom thought she was demon-possessed. Like many of your family members, they think that you're demon-possessed too. So don't worry about it. It was cool. It was cool. But I was in the library meeting with this student. And I made a gospel presentation. I explained this to her. I told her there's hope. She was going through so much pain. She was going through so many sufferings because of her identity, who she was. Because she was a foreigner. Because her mom abandoned her. Because she felt like she was trash. Have you feel like you are worth nothing? She felt like she was not worthy. And I said, Jesus Christ can save you, give you hope and purpose. Will you accept Jesus Christ right here? It seemed like, guys, kid you not, she just like left. The lights are on, but there's nobody home. She looks as far as you can say. You could put a hand in front of her face, she wouldn't blink. I said, oh boy, what am I going to see next? And then it seems like she came back. She looked at me with this weird face, and she said, no. It hurt me. I just couldn't believe how someone could say, I do not want to go to heaven. I do not want to see. I'm fine as I am. Wow. And friends, I'm here because I want to make sure that you hear clearly that the light is in this world and you can access it. I'm here to tell you, friends, that there's hope for your life. It doesn't matter how painful it has been. It doesn't matter if you feel like your body is not up to par. You know, when I look at the mirror and I was growing up, I said, why, God, you made me so skinny? No muscles. I have to work out, and I'm improving. I've got some muscles now, maybe, right? And then I will look at myself, and I will look at my hair. You know, the nice, cool people, they had long hair. I had curly hair, and they had blonde hair. Oh, I guess I can dye it, or I can figure something out. But I was so ashamed of myself. Not only that, but my teeth. Look at them. They're crooked. All the people in magazines and in the TV, they had perfect teeth. How could I approach a girl and say, "Would you want to go out with me?" I was so disappointed about who I was. Not only that, now I came to this country and they asked me, "What are you?" I'm a human being? No, you are Hispanic. Why? Because you came from Spain. No, I didn't. No, you are Latino, because we pick Latino. Our language is based in Latin. Really? And then somebody else, no, you are Spanglish, because you speak English and Spanish. And then somebody else said, you know what? You are a runa fibre. Say, what? Runa comes from Quechua in Inca and Peru, which means people. Afri comes from Africa. Iber comes from Europe, Spain, and Iber from the rest of the world. So what is it that you're saying? I'm everybody and nobody? I'm not European. I'm not indigenous. I'm not African. And yet, I'm all of them. What confusing that is to your identity, to who you are. Listen to this, and with this I'm going to close. John went two eyes length to say, God came to this world, and the world did not recognize him. And then he repeats, he came to his own people, and his people did not receive him. And then says this, yet. And this is where I want to land. My mom was, I don't know how to say it right. She doesn't understand English, so don't tell her. But this is extremely painful for her to share. She said, my mom and my dad, well, let me put it this way, she said. My dad was a white, wealthy man, and my grandmother, which my mom's mom, was an indigenous servant who worked for this man. She was a single mother too, and my mom was born. I don't know what happened. I don't know how it happened, but I know this. When my mother was born, my grandfather kidnapped her because he said, she's my only daughter, and I want her. And then my grandmother, Mama Bear, just went crazy, organized the whole town, and then just went and found my mom in a little town, a little house up in the mountain. And my grandfather said, you know what? She is not my daughter. I won't take care of her. And worse, I won't give her my last name. You know what that means? It means that as you are growing up, you only have one last name. And this is Latin America. This is Venezuela. You have to have two last names. If you don't have two last names, you are saying, I'm not wanted. My father said, you are not mine. You are... excuse me for this horrible word. You're a bastard. Your parents were not married, and you are just an accident. So listen to my mom. Listen to her heart as she grew up, and she said that her dream was to sign her father's last name. She will dream having those last names because it was shameful for her just to publicly admit it. My father doesn't want me. One day, my mama met my papa. A little boy was born, Moa. And my grandfather called my mother and said, you know what, I want that baby boy to have my last name. I want you to have my last name. The lawyers are ready, come on down. And my mom, she probably hesitated for a minute. I'm sure there's a lot of stuff there, like pain, like pride, but there's one main reason here. She said, you know what? I already have two last names. Because when she married into my father's family, She's got his last name. Therefore, I do not need another last name. I want my mama's last name. Friends, look what the Bible says. And this is what Jesus, what the story changes and shifts. This is an imperfect analogy, but it's powerful what it means. Look, this says that people rejected Jesus, but then he says, yet to all who did receive him and to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You know what that means? That if you receive Jesus Christ in your heart, if you believe in his name, your story has changed completely. Doesn't matter where you came from, doesn't matter your history, your pain, your suffering, it's all covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, and he is calling you mine. What does that mean? How do you apply that to your life? In your guides, you have some more questions, some more Bible passages. I love for you just to go over this and answer this one question. Have you received Jesus Christ in your heart? I don't mean, yeah, I know Jesus in my heart, but have you received Jesus Christ in your heart? Do not delay it. Let's pray. Your Heavenly Father, thank you. You love us so much. You call us your own. And Lord, I know that in a group like this, there are many people that are struggling in many areas of their lives, who they are as individuals, who they are as students, who they are in this world. But we know, Lord, that you, the light, came to this world, and you said, you must accept me if you want eternity. And I pray, Lord, over all these students. I pray over those who are doubting, those who are not sure if God exists. I pray, Lord, that every one of them could come to a realization, to a clear picture of who you are and that you want them. In Jesus' name I pray.